This is Fresh Air. I'm Dave Davies in for Terry Gross. There was a time when newspaper obituaries focused mostly on the rich and famous. Jim Nicholson changed that. The obit writer for the Philadelphia Daily News made the so-called common man obituary an art form and soon had imitators around the country. Nicholson died last week at the age of 76. In his 19 years on the beat, Nicholson's subjects included an ice hauler, a trash truck driver, housewives, and domestics. He told their stories with vivid details, not all of them flattering, but he wrote about them with respect and found all of them interesting. Terry spoke with Jim Nicholson in 1987.
Welcome to Fresh Air.
Thank you, Terry. It's a pleasure to be here.
Now, I've chosen some excerpts of obituaries that you've written that I'd like for you to read for us.
Okay, the first one is Joseph Joe the Goat Dorito. Hardly anyone, including his family, is exactly sure what he did during his 20 years at the Philadelphia Parking Authority. But that was regarded as a side job anyway. His principal occupation was just being Joe the Goat. Trash truck hauler Leon H. Grant. He had rigged a speaker system inside the cab to hear music, and the booties of his latest grandchild usually hung from the visor. A religious man who was an active member of Devereux United Methodist Church, Grant was described as the one who taught his children to pray, and then taught his grandchildren. Lawrence Larry Dimples Malary, ex-cabbie. Handsome with wavy chestnut hair and a quick smile, Larry Dimples was a sharp dresser and a real good dancer who was a lover boy who never lacked for female friends, said his sister. He was a smooth talker. He had personality, looks, what else?
This last obituary that you read, this is not the kind of guy who you'd usually read about on an obituary page. He did not lead a celebrated life. I don't know if there are any big landmarks in his life. Why did you choose him to write about on your obituary page?
Well, Terry, like most people on my obituary page, he had no so-called credentials to even get there had it been an orthodox obit page. But he did live a life. He lived a good life. Larry was one of the guys you see on the corner, and you wonder where Larry's life goes when he leaves the corner. Larry is that old guy you see in the fast food place having the cigarette and cup of coffee and looking out under a very old furrowed brow at people walking by, and you catch a glance at him and you say, what brought him to this chair in this fast food place or this all-night diner? And what we try to do in about 15 or 20 inches is run his life back in fast reverse and see where he started and what brought him here.
Did you know right away when you started the obit page that you wanted to write obituaries about people from the neighborhoods?
Yes, from the very first obit, October 18th, 1982, was on a stakeout police officer who had died. And it's been that way ever since. There was never any question.
I think of your obituaries as being a little like eulogies in that they describe the person from the perspective of people who knew them and loved them and who loved their eccentricities and appreciated them for that. And I wonder how you feel about that.
Well, they are eulogies. In fact, some priests and ministers will read them from the pulpit at a service. Being in a newspaper, it gives it almost a false sense of authority. You know, the printed word, it must be true, and this is important. So they'll hold the clipping at the service and say, here's what they said in the Daily News about so-and-so. He must be important because it's in the newspaper.
Most feature stories and articles in newspapers just get thrown out after they're read. I bet your obituaries are saved for many years.
Oh, my gosh, Terry, they're almost immortal. The greatest investigative piece I ever wrote when I thought I was really important never survived more than a few weeks in terms of being kept around. But these obituaries, they're laminated, they're put under glass, they're hung on walls, they're in family Bibles. In fact, they're even put into the inside coat pocket of the deceased. And they'll be around long after you and I are gone.
You get people to tell you wonderful things. This is from one of your obituaries. You write, he was an expert driver who could weave a car through heavy traffic in record time while singing a romantic ballad. He knew the words to every mushy song from the 1930s through the 1950s. That's great. I mean, who would tell a reporter that?
Well, they don't tell you this right at first. Initially, people in a phone interview, and most of mine are by phone, will tell you what is proper and right and they think should be on the record. But very, very few people in this world can talk to somebody for more than an hour. And we see this on police interrogations that run on for 3 hours until finally you start getting to the core of who this person was. And after they give their initial four-minute prepared speech on the person, then we get into who this person really was.
Your obituary page has become very popular, and I imagine a lot of people pursue you now so that you can write an obituary about their deceased friend or relative. How do you decide who you're actually going to cover?
Generally, I'm not pursued that heavily that I can't handle it yet, but I've been able to write obits on virtually everybody who calls, and it's sufficient. And I get calls from, say, a 14-year-old girl from the ghetto in North Philadelphia who doesn't go through any bureaucracy. She just dials my number and says, I want to talk about my grandmom. And presto, the next day, this girl's grandmom has a 18-inch obit with picture. Now, where else can this happen? It can't happen anywhere. You know, people can't get into newspapers anymore. The guard stops them downstairs, unless you're a crooked politician or a movie star. How are you going to get into a newspaper today?
Have you ever had to say to anybody, I'm sorry, but your mother or your grandmother isn't interesting enough or important enough to get into the paper?
Never, never. Nonsense. There is no uninteresting obits. Only uninteresting questions asked by a reporter.
There's a lot of obituary jokes. I know one or two, like, I always read the obituaries to see if I'm dead, and people are dying who never died before. Do people tell you a lot of obit jokes?
I am the butt of a lot of obit jokes. myself and the Inquirer obituary writer, we've heard them all. You know, they nickname me Dr. Death and all this sort of thing. And so I get back at them sometimes. In the elevator, I'll say to someone, Charlie, do you have a recent picture of yourself? And they'll look at me twice.
I guess, in a way, I hate to bring this up, but you know that now you will be eligible for one of the really large official obituaries because you've made such an important contribution to the city. It's a funny thing to bring up.
Well, I suppose I have not written my own obituary. I like to think that my obituary is already being written in a lot of little obituaries. It's already out there.
Philadelphia Daily News obituary writer Jim Nicholson speaking with Terry Gross in 1987. Nicholson died last week at the age of 76. Coming up, we learn more about Nicholson from his obituary writer. This is Fresh Air.